Hey everybody, welcome back to Fitness Candor Podcast. I am joined today by Christopher Tarullo, Coach Tarullo, and he is the strength and conditioning coach for Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I think it's really important to hear from people like Chris because he doesn't have the 100% background of what you would think a strength and conditioning coach has. And the more strength coaches I talk to, a lot of them have very similar backgrounds, and I like, you know, when people kind of stick out from the mold, and I think Coach Tarullo definitely does that. We'll kind of get to learn about his philosophies also as we go. So, Coach, thanks for joining us tonight, man. I know you just got done with a long day, so I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thanks for having me. It means a lot.
Definitely. Absolutely. So, gave a brief background on you, but kind of fill in some gaps and tell people what you do and how you got to where you are now.
Well, you know, right now I'm currently the assistant strength and conditioning coach here at Duquesne University. I'm in charge of five different sports, women's bowling, women's rowing, both soccer programs. I also assist with football and track and field, specifically with throws. And I also do cheerleading currently right now. But, you know, it's been kind of a long journey to get here. You know, it all started, you know, back when I graduated high school in 2007. Took a year after high school, really didn't know what I wanted to do. I started working full-time at a local print company that I worked at my whole young teenage life. And I was just waking up miserable every single day. And I just knew, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do in school, but I knew that maybe going to school would, you know, just better my life and give me the hope that my quality of life would be better. So I enrolled at a local community college, Luzerne County Community College, and my first major was graphic design. I really thought I wanted to design brochures and do all that. Well, turns out after a semester, I didn't. I switched it to computer graphics. Now, then also computer systems. I was like, no, that's not for me either. And I just went general studies and really didn't have a direction. I was kind of, wouldn't say failing at school, but it wasn't what I hoped out it would be, you know. So, but at the time, I was really passionate about mixed martial arts. I was competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu yearly, about four or five tournaments a year. And I just felt like that would be a good career path for me just because I was so passionate about it. I just knew if I was passionate about something in my life, that is probably what you want to do for the rest of your life. So, but I really didn't see myself as a, you know, a professional mixed martial artist. I don't like getting hit in the face. It's not fun. I'm really too pretty for it. And, I thought, well, maybe I could just be an instructor, but I go, well, that's going to take a lot of time. You know, if I want to train really elite level people in the sport, it's going to put a lot of time into being an instructor. And I just kind of was browsing the community college that I was at, their brochures and what they had academics, and they had a program called Exercise Science. And I said, wow, that seems interesting. And it immediately, when I got involved, I didn't know that I could train a variety of different sports. It just doesn't have to be Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or mixed martial arts. I could train volleyball, golf, football, tennis. It really seemed endless, and I was kind of hooked from then. And so I did my 2 years at that community college. I got an associate's degree in exercise science. And I was fortunate that I had an articulation agreement with a state school, well, Bloomsburg University, where I would do my 2 years at the community college, and I'd do my 2 years at the state school, and I would have my bachelor's in exercise science. Everything transferred in. I was very fortunate. And I went to Bloomsburg University, and then that kind of opened up my world even more because I thought I really wanted to do strength and conditioning, but, you know, you find out that there's a lot of doors to, you know, the field of exercise science. There's occupational therapy, cardiac rehab. You can work with older adults and children. And I really thought cardiac rehab was the path for me in my 2 years there. And I had an internship all lined up at the local Bloomsburg Hospital doing cardiac rehabilitation. I had no experience in it. I got it though because I had a great recommendation, and I thought that's what I was going to do. I'm a good people person. I thought, you know, my father was a cardiac victim. He had a heart attack in 2007, and I thought that's what I wanted to do, but as the day got closer, it wasn't for me. And I had some previous experience in strength and conditioning. I helped out the women's field hockey team at Bloomsburg. As far as, you know, corrective exercise and things like that. So I had a little experience there, and the day was getting closer, and I was kind of panicking. I go, I don't think I want to do cardiac rehab anymore. So I was fortunate enough to contact the head strength and conditioning coach at Wilkes University named Keith Clayholt. I met him prior to my internship there. I had to interview somebody in the field while I was at the community college, and just kind of interview them and see what the field was all about. And I emailed him. He immediately got back to me. He remembered me, and he goes, "Yeah, I have positions available this spring if you want to do it." I met him, and it was all hands on deck right there. Awesome. So I interned for him in the spring of 2014, my last semester in college. I just focused on my internship. It was close to home, and I would go there 5 days a week, and I was probably working 30 or 40 hours a week as an intern. And the first day I got thrown to the wolves, spring football testing. It was a very fast day. I barely remember it because I was just writing down, recording numbers and data and spotting guys, encouraging them. And the first day went fast, but the second day things slowed down, and I really had an impactful moment. And I realized that, this is something that I want to do for the rest of my life. Just the positive energy in the room and the atmosphere and just the way everyone was encouraging each other. I go, this is what I have to do. This is it for me.
Right.
So after I graduated from Bloomsburg in that spring of 2014, and Keith offered me an assistant position at Wilkes University, and it was a pretty good deal. It was part-time, but it paid $12,000 a year, and they gave me an apartment to live in for nothing, and I didn't have to pay any bills. I was close to home to, mom, dad, and grandma, and if I needed anything to eat, I would just go see them. And I spent 2 years there, and I was in charge of 10 different teams, and I assisted with all the other ones. We had 22 sports at the time I left. So wow. It was a lot of sports, a lot of experience, a lot of coaching. Made a ton of mistakes my first year, but what young strength and conditioning coach doesn't? And I learned a lot from them. And while I was there my first year there, I got my master's degree from California University of Pennsylvania in exercise science and health promotion with a concentration in injury prevention and performance enhancement. And my 2 years was done. It was a 2-year contract, and working with the head strength coach there, Keith, I learned almost all his tricks and trades. I really couldn't evolve more as a coach, and there was just no time for the position to kind of alter or for a promotion or anything like that. It wasn't going to go full time. And I kind of took a hard look. I could have been comfortable and just kind of been, that assistant, part-time assistant, or I could, make a decision and evolve and grow as a coach. And I applied for a bunch of different internships, but I was fortunate enough that I got one at the University of Michigan, and I was there for the whole summer since May to August. I got to work with your Olympic sports strength and conditioning staff, and they have a great program, a bunch of great people,
yep.
And it just worked out really well. And it was a great time to go. The games in Rio happened this past summer, so a lot of current students and alumni were training for the games. So I got to work with a lot of Olympic talent. Michigan has a very historic program when it comes to hockey, so they had a lot of NHL guys come back and got to work with them. And I went from working for one strength coach to 11 strength and conditioning coaches that were full time, 2 graduate assistants, and also 2 fellows, which are professional interns. So it was just the amount of knowledge that was there and that I could gain and grow as a coach was just, it was easy, and they put you in their internship program is just incredible. They have a lot of educational sessions and they push you because you have to, come up with different phases of programming, present them all in front of those coaches, and they grill you and they ask questions. So it was definitely a little hostile and it definitely gave me some anxiety, but I was lucky enough that how great of an opportunity it was, and I took it seriously, and I did really well. And all those guys are great, from the top to the bottom,
yep.
From the director to the fellows. They're all very knowledgeable, all very intelligent people, and they really care about evolving coaches. So that was just a great internship there. And that's I got awesome. Invited to come back and volunteer my time at the end of the semester, but being home, being away from my family for, whole summer was a lot. I was very fortunate to have my girlfriend there with me that sacrificed everything, came out and helped me and supported me. And we moved back home and kind of didn't know where to go. I had some interviews lined up and just didn't go my way. And my older brother ended up moving to Pittsburgh. So I kind of said, well, I could maybe go to Pittsburgh and seek some opportunity there. And I contacted Duquesne University, John Henderson, who's the associate director of sport performance here. He got hired in August. He immediately got back to me and he goes, yeah, we have volunteership opportunities here. And I came and visited out in September. I saw him do one session of football, and within the first 5 minutes, I knew this is where I wanted to be, because every coach here just cares about student athletes. It's the main focus. There's nothing else. It's what could you do best for the student athlete? So came out in September, saw them. I came out in October, volunteered for a month, and I was fortunate enough that a part-time position opened up here, and I got hired. They interviewed me, and they hired me. It was a little funky interview because it was a phone interview. I was in the office, and then they were in the office next to me with the door closed, and they called me. So it was a little different. It was a little, you know, but
that's awesome.
I was lucky. It went really well, and I've been here since, and I love it here. You know, everybody's great, and I work with an awesome staff that pushes me every day, and they're just fun to be around. I'm laughing every single day with them. Like, they're such good guys to be around. So
that's awesome.
That's where I'm at right now. Yeah.
That's a cool background. And one thing that kind of sticks out is, you know, when you first got into the exercise science field, there's numerous areas people go in. And I think you can attest to there are a lot better ones in terms of, you know, being more lucrative than a strength coach, but the payout, but the payout versus how much effort you put in and how much time you put in, I think all of that is completely goes by the wayside when you become a strength coach or a personal trainer or something where you're impacting somebody's life every single day and you truly do love what you do. And I'm not saying that people who go into cardiac rehab and things like that don't help people, because obviously they do. You know, that's like a blanket statement, and I'm sure a lot of them love what they do. But in terms of like the direction that exercise science can take a person, and when somebody chooses to go into the strength and conditioning route, I'm sure some people are like, man, you work how many hours a day and how much do you make?
Yeah.
But everything else that goes along with it completely is way more worth any amount of money or paycheck that somebody could give you.
Yeah, it really trumps everything. You know, it's just, there's no feeling like, you know, a student athlete coming up to you and thanking you for making them better, or you could see their, you know, how they grow through the process of the 3 to 4 to 5 years that they're here. It's an incredible feeling, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you mentioned being at Michigan and how they develop their coaches. It kind of reminds me of, you know, if a person thinks of Michigan, University of Michigan, they think of how awesome all of their athletics programs are. And it sounds like, from what you say, they're into developing their coaches just as much as they're into developing their athletes. And you can't really have one without the other, so that makes total sense. But nobody's really said that in the way that you said it. So I think that's really unique to what those types of schools do, you know, those big universities where you automatically think, well, yeah, University of Michigan, awesome basketball, awesome football, lacrosse, go down the line. But it all starts behind the scenes with that coaching staff.
Yeah, it all does. I mean, they really strive to, the motto is to be the leaders and best. They really strive to be their leaders and best in every situation possible, whether it's, you know, academics, on the field, and it comes down to strength and conditioning and evolving not just themselves but the people around them, and they really care about what they're doing. You could immediately see that, and that's what really kind of brought me out to Michigan, is that I kind of saw that they really wanted to develop a coach, and you know, they take pride in who they are. You know, you're an intern there, you get that block M on your resume, that means something. And I think, you know, having that on my resume definitely helped out, because it means a lot. It means a lot to a lot of people around the world.
Right.
There's a reason why, because everybody there is really special. They really care about what they're doing, and they care about the student athletes.
And it carries on to what you're doing now, right? I mean, all that fire and passion just transfers over, because you know where you came from, and now you get to deliver that for another program. So what, taking all of that and your background, how do you create buy-in into your program, or, you know, as an assistant strength coach, how do you get athletes to buy into what you guys are doing?
You know, you got to build trust. You know, it comes down, you got to make sure you show the student athlete, in my opinion, that you care about them. I think if you show that you care about them, you care about their well-being, and, you know, not just, you know, in the weight room, but ask how they're doing outside, and how they're you taking care of your academics, and just being that uplifting influence in their life, I think that's how you create buy-in.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we have some foundational principles here at Duquesne. We, you know, we believe in accountability, discipline, being detailed, and giving a maximal effort every single day. And I think if you show, you tell them that every day, they're really going to start buying in because you demand it out of them, you know, everything like that. So,
yeah. So is that part of the athlete's perception of the weight room? Like when they come in there, what's the precedence that say, for instance, a freshman walks into the weight room for the first time, what do you want them to relate that to as soon as they walk through those doors?
Just that this is an environment that it's going to make you better. I don't think that, you know, I don't want them to think of the weight room as a negative thing. And I think as an incoming freshman, it could be scary.
Yeah.
Because you're not used to that environment. But, you know, we tend to say, we bring every day, it's like bring intensity, bring enthusiasm, lift each other up and give a max effort, you know. And I think that's what kind of sets the tone for the day and the weight room and where we want them to go.
Right. Yeah, and that kind of ties in with what you said about, you know, when you build in buy-in, that all ties in together, the physical, the mental, you know, the whole nine yards. Like what goes on inside that weight room should transfer to the outside, right?
Exactly. It's more than just preventing injury and optimizing your performance on the field. You know, in my opinion, it's the most honest place in the world.
You know,
put a barbell and some weight on it. Either you can lift it or you can't lift it. And you learn a lot about yourself in that room. And I think that's why one of the reasons I'm so involved in it and I'm so passionate about it, because I think it carries off into life.
It does. Definitely. The more I talk to strength coaches like yourself, you know, I hear them say everybody says similar things. Even if you don't know each other, it's like this bond that everybody has, because the first thing that comes up are the students. Students come first. And if you can't put everything into that student and make them like the best student athlete possible, the best person possible, because how many of those people are going to go on to play pro sports? Very little of them. And if that's all you're focusing on, then you're doing a huge disservice to those athletes. Would you agree?
I agree. Totally. You got to put them first. They're the most important thing. Their well-being is number one, you know, and if that's not your main goal, if you're a strength and conditioning coach, your main goal is not to put the student athlete first and do whatever you can to set them up for success, I think you're in for the wrong reasons.
Definitely.
That's the only reason I want to do it.
Yep. Absolutely. How do you create, we touched on it just a little bit. How do you create mental toughness in your athletes? What does that term, quote unquote, mental toughness look like? Because I'm sure it's different from sport to sport, or definitely from athlete to athlete. There's no doubt about that. What's your approach to mental toughness?
The way it's being mentally tough is a huge component to, you know, what I do and what we do here at Duquesne. It's just, we want you physically and mentally tough. You know, I'm a firm believer you can put all the talent you want on the field. You know, if you're not mentally tough, you're not going to win. You know, if you're talented and you don't work hard, you're not mentally tough, you're not going to win. So for me, when I create a program, I try to incorporate some form of mental toughness every time they come in, whether it's a Tabata circuit or it's a big set on a bench or a squat, something where you're going to have to dial in and say, okay, I got to get my mind right. I got to move some weight, or I got to be in charge and in control for 4 minutes. And I think mental toughness has to be habitually done for you to be good at it. Yeah. And then you're just not, some people have it and some people don't. But I think regardless, you need to train that as well. It's not just, you know, training the parts of your body. You got to train your mental toughness too. So we do something every day in the weight room that's going to enhance their mental toughness, something that's where they're going to have to overcome adversity and give everything they have for a certain amount of time. And hopefully when they're on the field, or hopefully in life, when they have to overcome adversity, they can think back to moments like the weight room and say, you know what, I got through that. And I thought that was terrible.
Right.
I could overcome it. And that's something that I kind of preach to them, you know, hey, today was tough, but like, hey, life's going to throw a lot more harder stuff at you. You know, think of moments like this where you're in that moment of duress that you can overcome it later on in life.
Definitely. What do you think's tougher to coach? Is it the physical aspect or that mental aspect?
Yeah, I think the mental aspect, because I think at this level, I think the toughest part is to keep the student athlete engaged and make them excited and enthused about training.
Yeah.
You know, not every student athlete walked in the room is crazy about, you know, lifting weights and strength and conditioning as us, Eric. You know what I mean? So
right.
You have always a couple people that are like, man, I love it. They love coming. But I would say probably 80% of them don't love it. But you try to make them understand the purpose of it. And hopefully, you know, like I said, that buy-in, it's all about buy-in, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Just remind them how important it is. And if you get that, even if they hate it, they know they have to do it, and it's going to make them more successful. That's what you have to do.
Well, you brought up the people who really love it, and I'm sure you instill in those people that, you know, they're the people that the other ones are looking for that extra motivation, right? If you have a star, especially a star athlete or a star player, who really loves being in the weight room, which I'm not sure, you know, from I've heard mixed stories from people who say, you know, my star athlete doesn't really give a shit about lifting weights. And all he cares about is playing, or he or she cares about is playing. And on the other hand, I've also heard that, like, as soon as my star athlete walks into the weight room, that person is 100% about getting people motivated, ready to train in the weight room.
You know, so, it really affects the whole team. If a team comes in and their star athlete is not accountable, kind of doing what they want to do and doesn't buy in, it just trickles down to the whole team because they think the same thing.
Yeah.
But if you have a student athlete who, you know, does perform well on the field and is about coming in and grinding every day and doing whatever they can, not just to make themselves better, but the people around them better, that's the teams you want to work with. And we have a lot of those here. Like our lacrosse team gets after it. Our volleyball team gets after it because they're all in it together. That's the buy-in. And that's what it's all about. And that's the hard part is creating that. How do you, you know, an athlete that doesn't work hard, he's a star player, he's a star player. How do you get them on board? And sometimes you have to call them out and they might not like it, but you know,
that's all part of it.
Yeah. It's part of the experience and you got to make them understand it's bigger than you. It's not just about you. It's about, you know, the 30 or 40 people around you that give their all, just not for themselves, but for each other. And it's a team effort. It can't just be about you.
Yeah.
If you make it about you, you're not going to make it in this life. That's how I feel.
I think so too. Yeah. I feel the same way. It's definitely about the people around you. There's no doubt about that.
Wow.
You know, we've talked a lot about the mental toughness for the athletes, but what about as a coach and the hours that you put in, and just your entire staff in general, like what kind of resolve do you guys seek to have when you've been, you know, at the gym, whatever time you get there, 5, 6 in the morning and you're done at, you know, 7 o'clock at night. And then you turn around the next day ready to do it again. What kind of mental toughness do you guys go through as coaches?
No, it's definitely tough. I think earlier in my career, I had it a little bit more. I tolerated a little bit more. I could stay up on my feet for 12 hours and I didn't care, but yeah, I get a little more tired now that I'm a little older. I'm going to be 28 in April and I get a little more tired. Yeah. I know it seems young, but I get a little more tired in the afternoon than I usually do. But you know, I work with such an awesome staff that brings so much energy that it just motivates you. It pushes you to like, okay, I got two more groups left at 5 and 6. So I'm just going to get after it because they're getting after it. And they constantly push me. But, you know, for me, if I ever get tired, I get frustrated. I really think about that moment at my internship when I was at Wilkes that second day where it was max squat day for football. And I think about that moment and I think about that positive atmosphere and I think about how everybody was encouraging each other. And I'll never forget, this one kid was squatting and we were doing a 3 rep max on the squat and he grinded out 3 and I didn't think he was going to get 3. And the way everybody just came in and cheered him on and encouraged him, it literally gives me chills just talking about it now because that was the moment for me that made such an impact in my life. They said, hey, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. This is it. There's nothing else out there for me. This is exactly what I want to do every single day for the rest of my life. And I happen to think about that moment a lot, especially those days when I'm tired. I go, this is why you do it. You do it for these kids. And you got to, that's why you're putting in the effort. That's why you're putting in the long hours. It's because of them. They're number one. And you got to do it. I don't care if it's 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. You got to bring the same energy and enthusiasm for each group, whether it's 3 kids or it's 30, you have to do it. They're my focal point. And that's what really motivates me especially those times where I'm grinding. I'm like, man, I'm tired. I need some juice. I need some energy. I need something. I'll think back to that moment, or I'll look outside. I'll see my fellow coaches getting after it. And it just motivates me.
I love hearing those kind of stories where people look back and they can literally pinpoint the moment where they're like, this is it for me. This is it.
Yeah.
It's almost not like an addiction per se, where you're like chasing that feeling you've had before and you're trying to go after it like you're an addict or something, but it's almost like that, where you get that, like, you want that rush when the athletes come in, you want them to be as pumped up as you. And when you come in and you get them jacked up, that's such a rush. I mean, for me, it's like, I don't deal with athletes per se, but when I have people come in and they're in a good mood, they know they get to work out, take care of their body, and they're like, they're all in, like their mental focus, everything. I remember, it was almost 10 years ago now, but I remember thinking to myself, like, I want to help people get excited about them making changes about their life. So if we could do something, let's keep it simple as like a chest press, and they just did 2 more pounds than what they did, a month ago, and they get excited about that. That's what gets me excited. It's their excitement. It's just like a coach's excitement about their student athletes coming in and just putting in hard work and then surrounding each other and just, like you said, getting after it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, that's our expectations for every lift that we do here as a staff. Like, it's almost feel like, I don't know if the other guys feel this, but I kind of want to outdo the group before me. And I think that's kind of how we push each other here as a staff. And, and I'll say some, whatever it takes to get those kids motivated. I'll say some wacky stuff, make them laugh, get them, they'll say some stuff sometimes. They're like, what did you even say that, coach? It doesn't make any sense. But they'll get fired up a little bit, and they'll get after it. And you have a great lift. There's nothing better than having a team in and having a great lift and the feeling you have afterwards. Like, you're just like, man, we killed it today.
Yep.
And I'll tell the other coaches, and we'll always brag to each other, like, yeah, football killed it today. Should have been here for lacrosse last night. They got after it. It's little stuff like that motivates me as a coach. And like I said, I'm very fortunate. I work with such an awesome staff that they push me every day.
And you want to walk into a weight room and have that, there's a vibe, you feel that vibe when you walk in, that whoever was just in there just crushed it. And you want that every single time. And then when you're surrounded by other coaches who want that, you get pumped up for them. And it's just like, it's a constant. Whoever steps in that weight room is going to feel it. And that's how it should be. It shouldn't be the somber place where you're going to get the piss beat out of you. It should be like a super uplifting. It's going to be hard work, but when you're done, if you're not gratified with it, then you didn't do something right.
Exactly. Our athletic director here termed the coin, and I love it because it's awesome. He said it in a staff meeting in front of everybody, but he goes, yeah, when I'm upstairs, because our weight room is just below our athletics offices up top. And he goes, I love hearing the earthquakes and energy that are coming down from the basement. And I just like, man, that's awesome. You just term earthquakes and energy. That's exactly what I want to accomplish every day. So
that's awesome. That should be like painted on your wall somewhere.
We're thinking about making t-shirts and stuff. So
I want one. I want one of the t-shirts. Definitely.
Well, if it happens, Eric, I'll definitely send you
one. All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Coach, when you were, what piece of advice would you give yourself now? If you could go, let me rephrase this. If you could go back, before you started getting into exercise science, and you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would it be with all the stuff, all the knowledge and all the, everything that you've been through now, what would you tell your younger self?
Just keep pushing yourself. Like, I feel like early in my career, I didn't read enough. I didn't seek out enough opportunities. So just keep pushing. Like, if I go back, man, push yourself, read more books. Don't be afraid to email or call somebody or approach somebody at a conference. Just go up to them and talk to them and do whatever you can to learn. You know, that's what, you know, the most of the mistakes that you make in your career is because you didn't prepare yourself for them. So I look back and go, man, if you just read a little more, if you just looked into it a little bit more, you would have avoided all those mistakes. And if I had anything, you know, to say to myself a few years ago, I'd be like, just keep grinding, keep learning. Yep. Don't ease up. Yep. Don't put it off. Just keep reading. Whether it's a book on, you know, strength and conditioning or a performance model, or it's even something like, I wish I went back and I read more, you know, motivation, encouragement books, leadership books that I try to do once a month now. I wish I did that 4 years ago. And I was like, man, where would you be a coach now? You know, so I don't regret it. You know, I don't regret, you know, my path and how it's going now. I think I learned a lot during my struggle and going through my journey. But I would definitely encourage myself more to get more involved if I could talk to the younger me.
I love it. Well, hey, Coach, if people want to get a hold of you, where can they do that?
They could hit me up on my email, which is, if you go to the Duquesne Athletics website, you could find it. It's Tarullo, TARULLOC. @duq.edu. And I'm also on Twitter. If you just search my full name, I'm on there as well.
Got it. Yep. I got that on here for the people who want to hear more about your story. Coach, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing everything with everybody today. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Oh, I appreciate it, Eric. I love it. If we want to talk again anytime, just reach out, man.